100 word stories.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 word stories weekly challenge. That's right. I'm recording this on my iPhone because my headset and my backup headset are not communicating. So, yeah, what a day. I guess I ought to get right to it, keep these short and simple before the iPhone decides to collapse. Let's start off with Jeffrey Fisher. He's got a few stories for us. Let's go ahead and get right to them. Jeffrey, what's on your mind?
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with a couple of stories for this week's weekly challenge on the subject of tomato. Before I get into the stories, I just wanted to say, apropos of last week's podcast, on the subject of buying liquor on Sundays, I've really never understood why it is that prohibiting you from buying liquor serves the goal of trying to get you to not consume liquor on Sundays, because like most people, I guess winos accepted, I buy liquor to inventory it and don't necessarily consume it on the day that I buy it, and sometimes Sunday is a convenient day to buy, even if one doesn't want to consume. But like a lot of those blue laws, I don't really understand why they're still in effect. So anyway, on with the stories. My first story is called Frank. I was in the middle of one for my baby when she caught my eye. She was a real ripe tomato, the kind of girl with a mouth made for kissing and hair made for tousling the next morning in bed. I winked at her. The band kicked into the last tune, and I had trouble keeping my mind on the song as I made sure she didn't leave the room. "How about a drink, sweetheart?" I asked. She nodded quickly, so I added, "I have a nice bottle of bourbon in my suite." In the morning, she was gone, of course. It was always like that, but it didn't make any of them less special. My second story is called Roadhouse. The tricky thing to learn about playing in a band and honky-tonks is how to dodge tomatoes while still keeping in rhythm. Sure, beer bottles hurt more, so you have to steel yourself for the impact and not flinch, but most of the drunks can't put a lot of strength behind the throw. These guys aren't Nolan Ryan, zipping a fastball at your head. No, it's the overripe tomato that causes the most damage. There's no way to remove the stains on clothing, and chunks inside a hollow body guitar wreak havoc on the sound. Even the chicken wire barrier doesn't help. It just slices the tomato before it reaches you. For particularly nasty crowds, I've started carrying my own supply of rotten fruit to gigs. If nothing else, it keeps the crowd's attention.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Okay, let's see. Next up, it's Muncie. Oh, cool. I wonder what he's going to be calling us in July. It's not July yet, so he probably won't tell us. Muncie? Hey. Come on, speak with us. Share a little something.
Greetings, Justice friends. Munsey here, reporting from the waterlogged remnants of what used to be Calgary. Wow, that was unexpected. Still, my apartment stayed above water and I still have a job, so I got off shockingly easily, considering all that's happened here. And Nenshi's really stepped up, mayor-wise. Good crisis management all around. Also, Vegas was fun. Though I spent portions of it clicking refresh on Facebook to make sure my friends back here were okay. Story time? Story time. Pronouncement by Christopher Monroe. I say tomato, you say tomato. Seriously, stop saying tomato. It comes off as weird and affected. Nobody talks like that. Maybe they did when the song was written, when regionalisms like that were more widespread. But as the world increasingly globalizes, pronunciations become widely accepted, and you just have to learn to live with that. It's tomato. Everyone agrees that it's tomato. Get over it. I mean, seriously, tomato? What on earth were you thinking? For reals. Anywho, I say potato, you say potato. Are you fucking kidding me? That's it, we're calling the whole thing off. If you haven't heard Broken Escalator on Podio Books yet, I recommend it. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I'm Munzee Munzee, and I generally post puns and live tweet movies. I hope you've enjoyed your month as the Justice Friends, Justice Friends. And now I'm off to holy zod, it's raining again. Are you kidding me with this?
Thank you, Munzee. Next up, that's right, it's Tom. Hold on, let me see. Any checking. Oh, forgive the crappy recording, do it on the laptop. Well, dude, I've got crappy recordings coming off the iPhone. Just wait until they're wax cylinders. What a day, right? I wonder when Best Buy opens. I probably am not going to get a Logitech H530 again. Although they're probably now on the H540 or some Plantronics. I tried the Bluetooth Voyager Legend. That sounded like crap. Whatever. Okay. Tom, let's hear it.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 4. Tim pulled the trigger too late. The Clarks exploded like a bushel of Roma tomatoes. The coach was covered in red. Bannister laughed while clocking a floater, which was performing an unnatural act on one of the bat lofts. The danger from the Clarks wasn't due to direct injury. The danger was from uneven distribution of weight. It didn't take much to send the coach into a barrel roll. Timmy doubled his efforts and extended his firing range. "Not good," roared Bannister over the gathering storm. A Russell's teapot was doing a Z-drop. Timmy yelled back, "Is that the FSM? Oh, F-bang."
Thank you, Tom. That wasn't so bad at all, now was it? Okay, we've inspired Richard, despite the fact that he has a horrible cold at death's door. God, this is what happens when I actually read the emails. Richard, dude, have some chicken soup. But before that, will you go ahead, tell us the stories.
Good morning. Unfortunately, I'm suffering from man flu. I'm not very happy about it, and I'm only going to give you two stories today because I just don't feel up to it. It was going to happen sooner or later. It was just a matter of time before a word cropped up over which myself and my American peers simply didn't share common ground. You say tomato, I say tomato. But which should I use? Just like the song, I felt like calling the whole thing off. I was going to compromise, but then I thought, to hell with it. Be true to yourself. Be proud of your heritage. So, tomato it is. And tomato it's going to be. And if you don't like it, you know where you can stick it. Story number two is about our friend George. All George's efforts were now focused on finding human company. He headed in the direction from which he'd heard the squeal of tires. As he jogged, it occurred to him that he could well be running into danger. After all, the vehicle he'd heard was trying to get away from something. And fast. He looked around for a weapon, and soon came across a pile of cans strewn across the road. He hefted one in his hand and nodded to himself, then filled his rucksack with as much tinned tomato as he could carry. Now he was armed and dangerous. And that's me done for this week. So, I'm off to find a corner to expire in, snottily, and if I do make it through to next week, I'll see you then. Goodbye.
Hey, that wasn't so bad at all, now was it? I'm glad you're starting to feel better. Speaking of people who are feeling better now that he's attaching the stuff straight to the... I know, hotels in Bali, Wi-Fi. You would think if it's paradise, they would have unlimited internet. You wouldn't even have to hook up. It would be right there, and they'd be spying on you. Oh, wait, that's the United States. Right. Here's Singh and his stories. It's an adventure, I'm telling you. Settle back, close your eyes. Even if you're driving, there. I finally said it. Probably shouldn't be listening. Unless you're driving, like, across the country. Well, it depends which country. If you're driving across Belgium, okay. I think it's all right. But if you're driving across the United States, no. You do not want to listen to the 100 Word Stories podcast. Not recommended. Here's Singh.
Bali Snapshots 2 by Chris Munising. My nasi goreng arrives tomato red on the plate. A rounded mound of Balinese fried rice. It's different to your normal Chinese takeaway. There's none of that black soy sharpness. Instead, ketchup mani sauce carries a salty sweetness, especially sitting in this bamboo restaurant in the green paddy fields. We walked a trail to get here. A thick wooden straw is a periscope rising from the fat coconut. Its lid has been carved like a lotus flower. Meanwhile, a red hibiscus dangles over the bamboo railing, nodding like someone tuning into our conversation. We smile, we smile, we smile. They spread a thin mattress in the Balinese hut. I'm told to strip to my shorts. And when they drop the muslin curtains, my wife does the same. We lie face down with sarongs over us. As they press and knead our Western flesh, my wife, who speaks Bahasa, learns both the women are widows. One lost her husband to a heart attack and the other keeps silent. I think of my own red face. Has my blood pressure dropped or risen since arriving here? My wife doesn't turn over. She is still shy due to her mastectomy 9 years ago. On the way to the cockfight, I see a white-haired grandmother with dried dugs exposed above her red sarong. She is hitting at coconuts with a long pole outside a house. I am reminded of old sepia-tinted photos of Balinese maidens who wore only sarongs in the streets, the rice fields, at festivals, in temples. The paradisal image immortalized by Impressionist Gauguin survives now as a cheap model of sexy art sold from roadsides thanks to the Protestant Dutch Reformation making women cover up last century. Meanwhile, topless granny whacks the coconuts. They jiggle like breasts full of milk. After independence, Bali survived, clean-minded and house-proud with competitions for the best-kept walled homes and gardens. Our driver stops to showcase one owned by his friend. From outside, there is not much difference between ornate temple and the average house of sculpted volcanic rock. Inside, we see separate buildings. The head, the ancestor temple, points north to the mountains. The body holds the family rooms, and the feet form the wood fire kitchen with its big rice pot. At the garden's center, each child's umbilical afterbirth is buried under the hibiscus tree, linking the family to this place. Women fold pandan leaf strips into square trays to hold prayer offerings. Then, thrice daily, they take flowers and morsels to the temple. This eats up 40% of the family income. Elsewhere, women are in paddy fields, are cooking or sweeping the paths. Even in the temples, women priests mutter the same prayers and drip holy water from a long folded leaf into your hands like their male counterparts. Some men carve gods, while women slog to keep up the rituals, but mostly their husbands sit smoking clove cigarettes, watching football and drinking endless cups of the thick Balinese coffee. We join 2,000 men for Ta Jen, banned throughout Muslim Indonesia as an anti-gambling measure. The cockfighting arena survives in Hindu Bali's province as religious blood sacrifice. Our driver says this is just a front. Under the table, licenses are provided by the police. Gamblers bid chok 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 as the black bantam and white are held up, a blade tied above hind claws. Released, they fly at each other. The black one strikes, and soon blood oozes like chili sauce through white feathers, soon to be chicken soup for the Balinese soul. Betting stubs dropped in the dust. We reach the professor's home for our appointment. We sit upstairs to discuss shared interests. He has many students and is a leading figure in the Bali Arts Festival. Soon, an American theatre director arrives to lead a group rehearsal for her coming show, a Balinese version of Shakespeare's The Two Gentlemen of Verona. She explains the plot's twists and foolish turns of cross-dressing infidelity and love. It all fits perfectly here. Newman, our new friend, says he wants to be Romeo. Wrong play, someone shouts. Don't worry, says the director. There are plenty of Romeos in this one. The professor drives us through a traffic jam to the festival, picking up an Australian woman on the way. Tall, red-haired and loud, she launches into a day's report. Prison work for convicted Western drug mules, learning to draw, act and write with the aid of the professor's students. Some are on death row for the stupidity of coming to party in the nightclubs of Kuta Beach in Denpasar, bringing in cocaine and marijuana to finance their holidays. Others will be here for life, she reports, on the good effects of art used as a tool for prisoner rehabilitation. Weaving through clouds of clove smoke, we escape inside to the Wayang Gong, folk opera with drum and flute orchestra. Nasally singing starts behind the curtained entrance. Next to me sits a sandal salesman. Girls caress mobile phones. It's a typical Shakespearean Balinese crowd. Two women heel step out with elegant red and gold dresses of formal brocade silk, wearing bantam headdresses. They drag long hems between feet like the feathers of shaggy fowls. Suddenly, one is a slim stand-up artist working the crowd, the other a chubby buffoon wiggling her butt. an ancient story, new jokes, and the crowd roars. Outside, we go to see a shadow play with the professor as independent judge. Behind the screen, the Dalang performs scenes from the Mahabharata with intricate stick puppets cut from buffalo hide. Painted in red, green, silver, and gold, only black outlines project in the coconut oil lamplight. Noble characters speak ancient Kawi, and comic servants with bellies and bulb noses translate in Bali Bahasa. Father and son attend heroes and gods, while the bad guy servant's shtick is to fall over, fart, and fill in the story details. It ends with a battle between the good guys and the demons. The final day, we meet Nyoman. This Topeng mask theatre student has a passion for Marcel Marceau-style mime picked up deftly from YouTube. He shows his own group's video clips. The Balinese are brilliant mimics, hiding their true selves equally behind traditional hibiscus wood masks or modern white face paint. He narrates the true tale of his girlfriend and love thwarted by overprotective dad. Another tempest on the island of Bali. He sips his smoothie, wearing its slice of watermelon, cut like the tail feathers of a fighting cock. Still the best emblem for the spirit of this place.
Thank you, Sing. An adventure, as always. Speaking of adventures, I wonder what Steven the Nuclear Man is up to. He didn't give any hints. Maybe he's got something up his sleeve. We'll find out. He recorded this one, so he always slips a little something in there. Hello, Steven the Nuclear Man here. I am on an adventure in Dayton. And then he, the highlights of... Did you know that I got a lot of dental stuff done Friday? Not a root canal, but, I'm getting there. I'm going to go through the rite of passage of being old. Should I just shave my head at this point? All the gray hair. Somebody pointed out, hey, there's a spot. Is a spot in your back of your head, the gray intentional? It's like, I don't know. I don't look at it. It's like, man, that's a shocker. That's a kick in the bad intestinal tract. Oh, well. Here's Steven.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. I have a special treat for you. A double drabble. Otherwise known as I wrote a 200-word story. But hey, be sure to check out the Kickstarter for What Fates Impose at bit.ly/kickfate. That's bit.ly/kickfate. Now on with the story.
Oh, good. You're awake. Look, I have something to tell you. You were right. There. I said it. Not that hard at all. It's not as easy for me as it is for you, but I can admit when I'm wrong, just like you. Huh? Oh, right. I know. I search for similarities. 23 Skidoo, right? Seeing things in clouds. You're so quick to tell me that I'm imposing a pattern of similarities onto dissimilar data. And let me tell you, that's just not true. We have so much in common, and you just refuse... Right. Sorry. Starting to argue again. It's not really fair with the gag in your mouth. And besides, I already said you were right. We're very dissimilar. It's true. I mean, look at us. Look at what we do. You're a banker with your suit and briefcase, and I'm a sculptor with my smock and chisel. That's the answer, honey. The sculpting. You don't build something up. You take a rock, and then you chip away everything that doesn't fit. Everything that's different. And then we can be happy together. Tomato, tomato. Let's just chop the whole thing off.
You like potatoes, and I like potato. You like tomato, and I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
Thank you, Stephen. I don't know what else to say. I keep saying the same thing over and over again. 375 weeks. Not on the charts at all. I don't want to be on the charts. There's this asshole that was going around suing people. You know, a patent troll shaking people down. Well, you're using the thing that I invented on audio tape and mailing it out, and I call it a podcast, so you owe me money. What a dick. That's not a podcast. And there's some things that should just be open. It would be like some asshole patent troll patenting breathing. Every breath you take, well, Sting owes me money twice, and all of you owe me money for breathing. I patented breathing. Fuck you. Oh, sorry. What was that? Who's next? Oh, serendipity. Yay, you get the happy lead in.
The headline was intriguing. Killer tomato destroys family. And the newsstand was doing a brisk business on the strength of it. I queued, paid, then ran for my train. And settling comfortably in my seat, shook the tabloid open to read this extraordinary news. The huge headline dominated the front page, followed by, turn to center pages for full story. I dutifully complied. There, tucked in the corner, was the simple story. John Smith, aged 43, recently choked to death on a small piece of tomato. His wife says the family has been destroyed. Who says the press never sensationalize?
Thank you, serendipity. Okay, I'm gonna admit I'm just shotgunning these, but Serendipity had a really good exhibit at SL10B, walking you through the past up to the present, thoughts on the future. Very thoughtful. Okay, it was a big box, but at least it was decorated nicely on the side. I'm gonna tell you, the outside of Serendipity's box build was nicer than Gracie Kendall's, which was splotchy and blicky and, you know, really? The worst part of it is, in order to get the draw distance to see the giant tree build in the middle of the Celebration Sims, you wound up seeing a little bit of Gracie's, and you couldn't just de-render it, because it was all a bunch of frickin' pieces. You know, I'm an artist. I don't have to link everything together. Bitch. The fun part is, if you went into the estate settings, you saw that the estate owner was Patch Linden. I wonder who the mystery sponsor was this year. Yeah, I went off on a rant last year about the lab dropping the ball on, well, you know, we're going to wait to the last minute and then fuck you over by not giving you any Sims to celebrate our birthday for us. How about you bring the cake and the candles and the... And, you know, at the last minute, people did, because they were celebrating the community, not the lab. But the thing is, this year, now it's like, oh, we got to sneak back in and, you know, offer this up. You know, what a crock. They can't even admit their mistakes openly. Really. And before you say, well, maybe, you know, they provided the Sims because other people paid for them and they had a project. And no. No, simplest explanation is usually the truth. Occam's razor. Or maybe what is that, Sherlock Holmes or Occam Sherlock. Hello, I am Occam Sherlock. I fight with a razor. You know, maybe Morton Downey Jr. or whatever. I'm getting off on a tangent again, so I should probably just say, hey, Zach Man, welcome back. You see? See how that works? I should take the pills.
Do you have any 2-pound heirloom tomatoes? Sorry, not this week, replied the produce guy. Too bad you don't have any this week, because my last one was magical. The produce man wondered if his client knew of the dimensional pathway not far away. He liked the man, so decided to investigate further, before having to kill him to protect the secret of access to real magical worlds. The produce guy asked, was it really magical? No, but it did taste wonderful, and it was priceless to hear my wife open the produce bag, then say, it's so big.
Thank you, Zach Man. I remember to start the laundry. How's that? I remember to start the laundry. Isn't that cool? Awesome. So, what's next? I have the timer going. We have two neighbors moving out across the way. So this means plenty of space here. If you're looking for overpriced, within-the-loop accommodations in Houston, hey, drop me a line. Sleep on my couch. But you won't be able to sleep while I'm doing the weekly challenge without a headset on this stupid phone. Well, it's actually a pretty nice phone, although all I use it for is Words with Friends, a little bit of messaging, and every now and then the Houston Symphony calls, hello, we have some overpriced ticket to listen to 27 oboes. Yes, and one bassoon. And it's like, really? You know, I get the emails. You don't need to be calling me in the middle of, well, what was I doing? Oh, yeah, Jack Squat. I should have been out buying a new TV. Our TV is fine, but, you know, there are finer ones out there. This one's like, what, 4 or 5 years old? So I'm sure that we could get a Samsung 46-inch, everything bigger, brighter, and so all the NCIS reruns, you can see all the cracks in Ducky's face. And every single bit of middle-age awesomeness of Gibbs. Man, I need to lose a few pounds and become as awesome as Mark Harmon. Don't you remember when his character was dying of AIDS on St. Elsewhere? Was that it? Or something? The one with Howie Mandel? And Elric the Pig? And it all turned out to be in Tommy's Little Ball? And stupid series. Oh, well, it was just ER without the funny. Lizzie, save me from myself, please.
A tomato is the perfect addition to a perfect salad. He chopped the tomato in half. Real food tomatoes, they're very healthy. The rookie lawyers who drafted his contract messed up and didn't state that he had to say the name of the kitchen knives he was selling. So he never did. This generated a colossal confusion amongst the viewers. Knives or tomatoes? Hundreds of calls flooded the lines, bringing the TV station to a halt. No sales whatsoever. He was fired. Well, invited to leave. He asked for $1 million. The perfect addition to a perfect life, he thought. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcock.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Okay, I'm going to admit, I haven't heard these before I'm doing this. Usually, I take a peek and I read the stories and I get a laugh. It's like, hey, that's a good one. I'm doing this blind. I really just need to get this out before I freak out. And then I'm going to go to Best Buy. I'm going to get two of the headset that work, so I have one and a spare, because that's how it works. And, of course, if that model doesn't work, I have to bring both back. maybe I should just buy one and then buy another and put it on the shelf. Then someone says, oh, I need a headset or I'll starve to death. And I'm like, all right, I'll mail it to you. This is what happens after 375 weeks, people. If you're doing a podcast, give up after 10, 15, 20, maybe 100, maybe you celebrate 100. Woo, 100! And then 200 is like, 200. And then if you're some jerkwad like this Leo Laporte and you're with the Gizwiz guy, ooh, 1,000! Dude, 1,000. I've crapped bigger than 1,000. We're coming up on 3,000, I think. For the weekly challenge and the 100-word stories and all that. 3,000. I have no idea when it's going to be. Because you have people that have come and gone. I've wiped out the announcements. I don't consider the upcoming topic episodes to have been episodes. And then there have been ones that were in multiple parts, so you can't trust that. And it just, who gives a crap about the account? Of it. It's how many you do that you enjoy, doing this stuff. And despite the fact that I've got broken headsets, I've got equipment here, equipment there, my bicycle is in the way of the closet, and yet I'm getting this done. Because it's just, it's part of the love, but I don't love it enough to listen or read the stories this time. Because I'll admit it. Next week, I will. Because I do. You know, during the week, it's, ooh, another one came in. I wonder what they're up to. I wonder what Zachman came up with. Oh, man. And it's like, he's found a new way to look at this word. Or, ooh, this person's come back. Oh, I got to hear it now. I miss them so much. So, that just gives you a little piece of my mind. Was this supposed to be Lizzie? I can't remember. Is it? I don't know. Is it Lizzie or Cliff? Shit. Hold on, let me look. See, now I forgot. No, the next one is Cliff. We already heard Lizzie. See, this is what happens when I don't have my headset working, I'm not hearing the stories, and I'm just flying blind on a Hawkman rocket cycle. God, that takes me back. Flash! Oh, wait, gotta try.
They warned me the stand-up comedy was tough. You won't make any money, they said. I replied that I was already broke. If you're any good, other comics will steal your material, they said. I said that I'd write more jokes, better than before. They'll heckle you, they said. I replied that I was good with a snappy comeback. They'll throw tomatoes at you, they said. I replied that I doubted if they did that anymore, and if they do, at least I'll eat healthy that night. They forgot to tell me that the tomatoes would be canned. And my second story for the prompt of tomato. Building the perfect BLT is an art. You start with the toast. If darker than a light golden color, it's too dark. You don't want it burnt, just toasted enough to support the fixings. The lettuce should be crisp and dark green, not pale and weak. The tomato should be firm and ripe, juicy, without leaking. The bacon should not be fatty, but not too lean, and be cooked to perfection. You only need a thin layer of mayo for a bit of zest. There's no M in the name, so you don't need much. Garnish with cyanide and serve.
Have you noticed I'm rambling longer and longer in these little interludes? I'm going to cut this one short. So thank you, Cliff. And we move on to Danny, who's come back. He didn't do one last week because he was like, oh, I don't know that. But he's here now. Maybe he's going to read both of them from something. I don't know. It's just maybe his headset was broken. Although I don't think he used a headset. If he does, I mean, okay. I'm sorry. My bad. Not like I'm going to hear your response. I really... Okay, I promise. Next time. What good is a promise? Oh, well. Here's Danny.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here. with Weekly Challenge 375, Tomato. Well, let's get started. When I first came into Second Life, there was a comedy stage on the mainland called The Flying Tomato. From the first time I discovered it, the stage and parcel was always empty. In these moments of solitude, I would wonder what avatar would want to get on stage to do a comedy act just to have flying tomatoes hurled at them. With the lag in Second Life, it would be impossible for any avatar to get out of the way of such a barrage. Then one day, the stage was converted to an open store, selling flying tomato chairs.
Thank you, Danny. Ooh, timer went off. Oh, I better go get... Well, I'll get my laundry in a few minutes, unless those movers can be like, oh, we need some wet clothes, and throw them in the back of the truck and move on. Who's next? Norval Joe? Okay. Let me get a sip here. Don't you hate it when you get a whole bunch of fresh berries, like raspberries or strawberries, and they last, like, weeks and weeks and weeks while traveling, you know, to the grocery store, and then you put them in your refrigerator for one day, boom, mold. Which means you've got mold in your refrigerator somewhere. And it's like, great. Now we got to get a new refrigerator, or get this washed out, or this, or that. It's probably deep within the pipes, and it's going to be $10,000 to fix. Then you wind up with a refrigerator that has internet on it. At least it didn't start with your cable going out, and then that stupid Dish TV commercial. I want to see the Mayhem guy just beat the crap out of all of them. Is that can that work? Or the Kool-Aid thing? Now that thing could wreck everything. Where's he gone? Probably with Twinkie the Kid. Oh, right, Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 375 with the prompt of Tomato. This has been a monumental week for me. I actually came within 15 points of catching Lawrence at Words with Friends. Well, last week you mentioned what would it have been like if Shakespeare did 100-word stories. So here's my shot. I call it an ode to a tomato hornworm. I hate thee, little worm, in truth. You haunted my dreams when but a youth. With bulbous head and spiked tail, with which you threatened to impale my tender hand. Two eyes could see, but many more, run down thy sides, and I abhor your clinging feet upon the vines of tomato plants, which do at times grow on my land. Camouflage of silver and green, a grand disguise to hide like leaves, I see thee not till I wish to take the ripened fruit, but I must make another plan. If tomatoes you wish to grow, poison is best. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Well, I don't rightly know what tomatoes have to do with wiener dogs. Don't ask me.
Thank you, Norval Joe. You are a lifesaver. No, really, you saved my life just right now. Because I didn't, like, jump through a plate glass window. Do we have... No. Well, we've got the sliding doors. But they aren't safety glass, so... Yeah, I'd be toast. I won't do that, though, because I can see them, because I haven't washed them in a week or two. All the heat! Man! It's just wretched. But I still want... See, I'm going to go to Kenny and Ziggy's. I'm going to get the chop liver. I'm going to get the Munster. And I'm going to get the rye. And then I'm going to swing by Best Buy, pick up the headset, and then I'm done. So I probably had Best Buy credit. Ever try to cash in Best Buy credit through your phone, through one of those Q reader things? They suck. So it's like, oh, I've got $5 off of a $500 TV. Oh, whatever. Sure, I'll keep reading here. If it turns out that they have the 46-inch Samsung one for like $700, I'm so getting it. It's like, you know, we have a 32. It's fine. It really is. But if we get, you know, I get a 46, it'll be embiggened. And then the 32 I can put in the other room, and, well, I still wouldn't use it. Although I could use it as an external monitor, sort of. Although I don't know what its refresh rate is. Probably wouldn't be very good. Although it'd be really big, but if it doesn't have a good refresh rate, it'll be like, oh, great. Whatever, who cares? How about we move on and queue up Tura here, who's back. Hello, Tura. Hi. Hello. Okay.
I don't like tomatoes. Nasty, cloying taste. But I once imagined I did. I'd fallen ill, getting sicker and sicker for 2 weeks. Then it turned round and I started recovering. During that recovery, I read a novel in which there was a small scene of an impoverished priest frying some tomatoes, sprinkling salt on them, and, his hunger being so strong, eating them straight from the pan. The author made it live, so much so that I nearly went straight out to buy some tomatoes and do the same. But I didn't, of course, because I can't stand them.
Thank you, Tura. See, I actually read your story, and it's like, oh, well, actually, I'm reading all of them. Yeah, I am. I'm reading them. I'm not listening, but I'm reading. So if you have any clever little notes like, if you're not listening to this, I will never come back again. Don't come back. And if you have a clever little note, say, well, I'm going to take a little break, and it sounds like I missed it. And everyone's like, hey, we've all decided to move over to another podcast. Fuck you, Simon. And it's like, well, yeah, whatever. Reap what you sow. Good luck. Have fun there. Or if you're establishing a new podcast, can I join? So that I don't have to get new headsets and all that stuff. So I can have my Sunday mornings free, even though I don't really have much to do, but just sit around and... I finished the Dan Brown book, by the way. It feels like a travelogue. Like, Rhiannon Jamison, was that the person who said it was like a travel... It's like, yeah, they're right. It was like 400 pages of describing things in Florence, and, oh, shit, I've given it away. I suck. No, really, it says so in the blurb. It's Florence. So, Dante. Duh, it's Inferno. So, at some point, he's going to be, like, doing a book about Captain Crunch. He looks on the ingredient list of Captain Crunch and turns out to be a conspiracy and a murder mystery and this and that. And then the captain himself is there. And the crunch berries. Blueberry comes in. I don't know anymore. Justin, what do you think?
Space Turtle, just a little master here from thespaceturtle.com. Take two. I still have fans on. Still too hot, but one fan was blowing right into the headset mic. And it was horrible. Bass booming. Why am I talking about this? I don't know. It's late. It's like 1:08 in the morning. Anyways, Soldier of Fortune is the game. It's the first game I played, probably the first game ever, to have realistic damage. Meaning you shoot a guy in the leg, he gets shot in the leg, and shoot him in the foot, he hops around, shoot him in the arm, his arm might fall off, etc. As this story will show. John Mullins, Soldier of Fortune, crept through the jungle, drops of rain bursting against the barrel of his assault rifle. The sound of muttering being cut off by a hush gave him pause. Through the foliage, he spied two terrorists attempting stealth through the trees. John swayed his gun towards them, and a bullet popped out through the silencer. One terrorist took a bullet to the arm and one to the neck. He died from shock. Two more bullets struck the other terrorist in the head, which turned into an exploding tomato. The body slumped to the ground quieter than when walking.
Thank you, Justin. In your note, you say here something about the fan covered with jungle noises. Hey, that works. Or you can just read it on a crappy iPhone. It's not a crappy iPhone, though. It's an iPhone 5. It's brand new. Although they're going to come out with a new model at some point. You know, like next week. Oh, this is the iPhone 6. It adds nothing. And it's slightly bigger and thinner and better battery life that winds up even worse because we have bugs in the software. We're ruining all the icons so that you'll welcome them back because it's our first mistake, and we'll blame Steve Jobs because he was scratching them on the inside of his coffin. Something like that. All right. For the first time today, someone did not read their story. Yes, it's Red Goddess. So, I think I'm going to have the... No? We have someone else? Oh, right. I almost forgot about them because they attached their story as a text file instead of actually just putting in the body of the message. Thanks. So Kurt Cobain is how he signs his name. I'll just have the robot read it. Kurt, here's your story. I know, I don't sound too exciting, I don't sound too welcoming or thrilled, but I've been saying for years and years and years, please don't attach the text of your story, put it in the body of the message. I asked for people to call it Weekly Challenge. At least you got that right. So, yeah, I'm being a bitch. I'm being an absolute bitch. Deal with it.
He lays half naked, body slightly twitching, head glowing red. A quick opening of his eyes is followed by a catapult from off the ground. Johnny. I inquire. What? He responds, eyes still half glazed. Are you all right? Where's my goddamn shirt? Will you please quit yelling at me? I turn, charge towards the bedroom and slam the door shut behind me. The pounding footsteps become louder. I lunge towards the door and quickly lock it. Let me in. I close my eyes and envision Johnny at the machine shop, laughing with his co-workers. Good old tomato head, they say.
Whew. Oh well. Thank you, robot. And thank you, Kurt, for feeding the words to the robot. See? That's how it works. Now wait, I gotta drag that back into this folder. That way I've got that in the right order. Okay. And no, it's not. Oh, that was supposed to come earlier. Oh, crap. Now it's going to screw everything up. My fault. Not yours. You just attached a file and started the whole avalanche. This is what happens, folks, when you attach your stories as a doc, as a text, as a PDF. Really? Really? You have to jump through hoops with freaking Adobe instead of just putting the text in the body of a message? That's all? Why? Why do people do that? Well, I composed it in the window, and then I just hit email, and I sent it. And it attached it, and it's not my fault. It's all Steve Jobs' fault, and he's dead. Whatever. Oh, well, that's someone who won't be coming back. Good. You know, one of these days, there's just going to be one person sending in stories, because, like, oh, you were an asshole. You drove all of them off. Deal with it. At least I'll get my Sunday mornings back, which I don't use for much anyway, except reading books. Oh, wait, that book is done. But I have David Sedaris's Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls. I love owls. And, well, I don't love diabetes. But I love those commercials where they stick each other with all the things, and all the devices get even more and more and more and more and more advanced, except everyone I see that has diabetes uses the old crap, and they're slashing their faces open to stick giant pads and stuff, and then they have to go to the Bat Cave to test their glucose. And it's like, how is it that these companies can have all these commercials for all these devices that people can't freaking afford and don't get? Oh, wait, it's because they spend all their money on the commercials, and they get a ton of money from welfare and all that, and from the government, and yet they don't actually have to give the devices out because it's all a scam. It's all a scam now. The whole world is a freaking scam. We're scamming ourselves, and eventually, well, the joke will be over. Until then, hey, how about a story by Red Goddess? That'll cheer you up. Lola, you gonna win one of these days.
A lot of celebrities have fallen for the GYOP, grow your own produce, marketing hype. Even the first lady has jumped on the eating fresh bandwagon. She holds fruit and veggie parties on the White House lawn for the children. For entertainment, she performs the hula hoop without breaking a sweat. Ah yes, save the children, Lola whispers to herself. You have to admire a well-liked mother, wife, public health advocate who finds time to grow her own tomatoes. She then shares her bountiful crops with voters and visitors. 5 blocks from the White House, CNN reported that a homeless woman was arrested for stealing bread at the farmer's market. She confessed she lost her food stamps at the shelter and needed to feed her only child. I guess when it comes to feeding the hungry, not everyone can eat from the land.
All right, we've got thank you, Red Goddess. Looks like the robot read that one cleanly. So let's keep going here and declare victory while we can. I'm just going to drag that back into the folder here. God, I hope I remember to get Kurt's story in the right order. Otherwise, this is going to be a jumbled fucking mess, all because of one text file attachment. You know, I'm just going to start tossing him out from now on. And, you know, hey, I told you, I don't got to deal with it. I'm doing this all, you know, for fun. You're taking the fun out of it. Bye. Go to Drabblecast. So, that'll take care of folks like Kurt. But, you know, I want to hear what Lola's doing. You see? I don't mind sending this stuff to the little iPhone robot because I can't read it just right. You know, it's got to be perfect. And when a robot can read it better than me, you know that it's the end of civilization. You know, the great singularity is coming. The H-plus movement. Good. The robots can deal with it. I'll drink my iced tea. What? Okay. I should probably hand this over to Planet Z. You know, Planet Z, right? Just hit pause.
Ted likes ketchup on his burger, but he hates tomato. Fred likes tomato on his burger, but he hates ketchup. So when the waitress got their burgers mixed up, they attacked her with a chair. Then they sat back down, traded plates, and finished their burgers. By then, the waitress had crawled to safety, and the owner of the restaurant had called the cops. Ted and Fred asked for separate checks. When nobody responded, Ted and Fred each got out a 20 and walked to the exit. What happened next? Who cares? I'm hungry. Let's get a burger. My treat.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories about tomato. Once again, I want to apologize for my headset being broken and my little outburst there over at someone putting in a text file attachment, which will probably screw everything up. Folks, put the stories in the body of the email message and then attach the sound file if you've read it. If you haven't read it, the robot will read it. I don't care. It just, whatever. It's going to be okay, but just come on. And the topic, the subject of your email message needs to have weekly challenge in it. Otherwise, spam filters might get it. Clown will eat you. I hope not. I really hope not. And I try and I look, but sometimes I miss it. So, really, try to make things easier on me. I'll make things easier on you. I'll make things easy for everyone. The robots will take over, and they'll all start shooting. Because the Terminator is being rebooted. Really, Hollywood, come on. So, that's it for this week. Next week, topic is going to be yellow. I'm sure that everyone's going to be like, really? Oh, God, this jumped the shark. And you're all going to move to Drabblecast or whatever the thing Steven's doing or whatever the thing Norval Joe is trying to do. Okay, good. Enjoy it over there. Take a break. I probably should take a break. No, not happening. One a day until the day I die.com. And I'll see you all next week. Until then, thank you for listening. No matter the fact that I just... Dude, I'm literally phoning it in. Oh, and... keep it brief.